Hey everyone, Brian from All Day Ruck Off here, and today's podcast episode is with GoRuck founder Jason McCarthy. I was able to chat with Jason about a number of different topics. It's a pretty relaxed conversation. We talk about COVID-19, changes GoRuck's been making due to that, talk about some recent gear they've come out with and are coming out with, talk about the international community, and we talk about a new project that Jason's got in the works, which I'm pretty excited about. It's been a while since Jason's been on the podcast, and I'm glad that he swung by to give kind of an update, answer some questions, and just to check in and see how he's doing. You're listening to the All Day Ruck Off podcast, episode number 154. Thank you so much for the support. Thank you for tuning in. Truly appreciate it. Hope you're doing good out there. Things are still a little crazy, so I hope you're staying sane. Hope you're still able to get some rucks in, get some workouts in, and I hope you enjoy this interview. Here it is, the interview with Jason McCarthy. Today, I'm talking with Jason McCarthy, founder of GoRuck. Really excited to have him back on the podcast. A lot has happened since the last time we talked, including a lot of product releases, and then this whole pandemic, COVID-19. Jason, man, thank you so much for taking the time to chat.
I'm happy to chat, man. You're a rock.
And again, man, it's just always nice talking with you. I guess just starting off, it's been really interesting to see, you know, GoRuck's response and your response to the pandemic, to COVID-19. I've really enjoyed all the videos that you've been putting up on the GoRuck page, all the gym workouts you've been doing. When you started GoRuck, I mean, 10 years ago, did you think that you'd be filming workouts in your garage 10 years later?
You know, my brain kind of doesn't work like that. So it's not something that I sat and said, oh, this is definitely going to be the zenith of my life, because it's not. It's one of those things, look. I mean, over time, I've realized that there's a perspective that I learned along the way about what to do in times of chaos. And I just want to be useful, right? I want to, hey, look, people, this doesn't have to be this hard, right? I get it, it's stressful, but let's slow it down a little bit and do this. Look, my garage isn't perfect, by the way. Neither is yours. And so stop making that excuse, right? My kids run in and interrupt everything all the time. And it's like, that's life, okay? You know, that's everyone's Zoom call. That's everyone's whatever. And it's just one of those things where, you know, stop waiting to do something and just get going. And so just kind of give people a little bit of nudge. And frankly, it's been great for me too. I've done more and been more active in some ways. I've been more active with strength training or high intensity training than I have been with just rucking, you know. I love to bike. I love to rock and just be on my feet moving and stuff. And I've probably done, my step count's still fine, but I've done a little bit less of that, it feels like. And I've done a little bit more strength training. Like that's a good feeling. So it's been positive in that regard.
Man, I love that response, because I feel like I've fallen into the same boat sometimes, where it's always that next piece of gear, right? Oh, if I could just have this rock, or if I could just have this weight, or I could just have this, man, I could do so much more. But I mean, looking around, no one's got most people don't have a commercial gym for a garage. So it's just been great to see you working out with what you've got there.
Because you can. I'm not waiting on my $20,000 garage gym so that it looks better on my Instagram feed. I don't really care, right? I mean, I really like it. I will say I have almost the full set of GoRuck sandbags. I'm still waiting to acquire the 120. You know, I've heard rumors there's one floating around HQ. I've been looking, have yet to find. But, you know, we've got the 20, 40, 60, and 80 here. I mean, you can smoke yourself till you drop, right, with body weight, let alone with tools like that. So it's been awesome. I mean, it's really brought me back to my roots. And I mean my roots in special forces and the way that we trained there. And all this fancy stuff, expensive fancy stuff, is, you know, it's I don't have that. And it, you know, this feels right. I'm not against whatever works for people, but it doesn't always have to be expensive, and it definitely doesn't have to be fancy. I mean, you want to be Rocky or you want to be the Russian? And I want to be Rocky.
Yeah, I mean, now more than ever, right? Because I mean, there's so much up in the air out there in terms of the economy, money, jobs, unemployment, all that. Look around at what you have and make it work.
Especially if you're going to get put into debt or whatever. I mean, now is not the time to go wasting money or blowing money on stuff you don't actually need.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been a member of a traditional gym in years and years. I remember at the Y, just because it's nice for Mason for swimming lessons. But besides that, I mean, all the training I've done has just been out of my garage. Sandbags, rock. It wasn't until just a couple months ago that I finally picked up a treadmill.
Yeah. Back to the basics, man. It's been good like that.
And it's been good to see, I mean, those videos, like you said, your kids running around, because I feel like so many of us, that's our life. We're trying to get a workout in during a kid's nap, and then the door flies open and they come out because they're not sleeping, and you know, they get in the middle of it. It's just nice to see that happen to other people too. You know, you're not alone.
Yeah, they come at you, man.
So I'm just curious, you know, I've got a list of questions as always, but is there anywhere you want to go with this? I mean, COVID-19's kind of the big thing right now. Anything you want to make sure we cover before we get into this?
No, I mean, you sort of follow what we're up to. I mean, we've pivoted pretty hard toward training. I mean, the ripple effects have been pretty strong, but we're doing well. I mean, and I say that like it's not without bumps, but wherever you want to go, man, it's all fair game.
So let's start out talking about Glorious Professionals then, GoWork's new podcast. I was really excited when you guys released those first three episodes. It's really nice to have something to listen to while I'm out there working out, getting a ruck in. And I was honestly just blown away by the production quality and just how it all sounds. It's a great, great podcast. So I'm curious, how long have you guys been thinking about that idea? And did the whole COVID-19 pandemic kind of spur you to get it going and get it launched?
Yeah, so we've been planning, you know, we did the GoRuck show for a while, and I mean, I enjoyed it. I mean, I really got to spend some time with Blaine, someone that I could talk to that guy all the time, anytime. I found the conversations interesting and useful, and yet I thought that we needed to kind of reset it and take it up a notch. And that just means go find really interesting people to kind of expand our own horizons. And so that part really appealed to me, right? I mean, the idea of let's get way out of our own echo chamber and go talk to people of all walks of life that are living this life of the relentless pursuit of excellence in whatever their field or endeavor might be, because it takes a huge diversity of people to get where we need to go. And I really want to celebrate that, right? There's so much diversity attached to excellence. And so we had been planning it for a while. And then frankly, we had been sitting on the episodes with me and Emily and Rich, which were the first three episodes, for months, because it just, there were too many excuses about why the rest of the podcast was going to be so hard. And, you know, AKA life was busy. And so then when Dr. Angel, I linked up with him about, you know, he was a special forces medic, and then he turned ER doc and medical doctor and stuff like that. And he got COVID-19 and reached out and had this blog post. And we saw hundreds of thousands of websites hits on his blog post, because it was valuable. It was, hey, I had COVID-19. He still had it at the time. Here's what I did to make myself feel better and to get through this from home so that I would not tax healthcare personnel. And so it's like, we got to talk to him, and we might as well just put it through the correct channel. So it was just, hey, we're going to prioritize this now. And then, oh yeah, we got to get some more people on. And it was kind of inconsistent, the people in the stream for a while. And then it was two people a week, and now we're trying to up it to three. So kind of promise two, but hope for three. Does that make sense? And it's been really tonight. Whenever this episode airs, I don't know, but tonight there's another episode from a former ambassador to Tajikistan, right? And talk about leadership. I mean, it shares an 800-mile border with Afghanistan, and she was there for a year and a half a few years ago. And just there's just so much perspective from people of all walks of life, and the young and the old and the in between, and you know, males and females, and gay and straight, and black and white, and take your pick, right? And there's just so much good that people are doing out there. It's really cool to talk to those kind of folks. So I really, frankly, just am pursuing a lot more passion projects right now. And that part is a lot of fun. I mean, a little bit of come what may, right? I mean, I think it will be ultimately better for GoRuck as a community, as a business, for me to focus on the things that I'm really passionate about. But the other part of me is like, man, life's short. You got to follow your dreams and what you want to do and what you really enjoy. And you still got to, you know, pay your rent checks and stuff. But the goal is to follow what I'm really passionate about. So the podcast has been a really, really fun addition.
I think it's been really cool with those episodes, seeing you follow what you're really passionate about, because I mean, the podcast episodes aren't really about GoRuck. Like, you could listen to them, know nothing about GoRuck at all, and still get a ton of really good content out of those podcast episodes. It's really about the people that you're interviewing. And man, they turn out really good.
I live with GoRuck all the time, and it's really fun to kind of step out a little bit. I mean, maybe every once in a while we'll do, like, you know, State of GoRuck style, might turn that into a podcast or something. I don't know. I haven't thought too much about it, but it's been the most fun to just figure out who would be fun to talk to and then just talk to them.
So I'm wondering if you've read any feedback on your show yet, because I mean, I checked it out on iTunes. You've got a ton of positive reviews on there, just a lot of 5-star reviews already for such an early show. And it was just really cool to see. So have you been looking into any of that feedback at all?
You know, I've heard a lot of people come out of the woodwork. I think that out of the gates, if we really put our mind to something, I mean, just the team that we have, and we say, hey, we really want to care about this, we're going to do a good job. And so I think that this is no different than that. And yet it's been really neat to see people come out of the woodwork, people that haven't been in touch with for a long time, or, you know, some of these retired people from GoRuck, whatever, right? You know, that's sort of my joke, is that retirement's for quitters. Don't ring the bell, right? But, you know, some of them come out of, hey, I listened to this. This is really cool. It's been great to circle back. And then just random people from other walks of life, you know, people I went to business school with, or just, oh, I heard this, or I heard that. That was really cool. And, you know, that's great, right? Because, I mean, we're stressing the importance of service and servant leadership. And that's kind of a through line. And just what it looks like, what it actually feels like, a little bit behind the scenes, because there's a lot of stuff out there where you get the no shit, there I was, right? And you get all these crazy stories, but what did it feel like when the mission was over? Like, what was real life like in between all of these awesome things? And kind of breaking some of that down, and, you know, doing it with either Em or Rich on the hosting side has been great, because, you know, they have real stories as well. And the people who come on, they know us, or they've looked at us, and they're just, we're willing to share our stuff. And that's kind of our hope or expectation for the people that come on. And so it's just been a lot of fun.
So I guess moving on from Glorious Professionals, which everyone should definitely check out who's listening as well, into the events in CrossFit space. It's been really interesting in the past year seeing GoRuck Rucks, seeing Rucking showing up at the Rogue Invitational at CrossFit events. You know, how did that whole thing come to be?
Yeah, so it's not an official partnership with CrossFit, but we have certainly gotten more into the CrossFit space. I mean, you saw rucking, and our rucks were in the Rogue Invitational first last year, about close to this time. And that was kind of the introduction. We've gone way back with the Rogue Fitness team. It's a great company with great leadership. And I think if you're around or looking for anything in that space, that's where you should go. And so that kind of started it off. And, you know, CrossFit's a small world. Lots of worlds are small worlds once you get in them. And so, you know, Dave Castro put rucking in the CrossFit Games, and that sort of triggered, you know, some awareness, which has been good. It's not kind of overnight sensation stuff, though, right? I mean, people are still kind of waiting to see how important this is. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, I believe that weighted movement with weight on your back, right? Functional fitness, CrossFit, take your pick. Like it has its place, and it will thrive in that environment. And, you know, we just dropped the ruck plate carrier, which is the most streamlined thing you could hope for while working out with weight on your back. I mean, it's just an awesome piece of gear for that. If you want to bring all your Lickies and Chewies and all your jackets and all of that stuff, this is not it, right? We build rucks for that. But this is a great piece of gear for training. And, you know, I think that there's lots of things that will play really well within that space.
Yeah, I mean, I've got one of the ruck plate carriers on order already. And I mean, one of the things I'm excited about is that it's just going to be so easy to grab it and go. You don't have to worry if there's an old bladder in there. You don't have to worry about anything. You'll know if the weight's in there or not when you pick it up. Just grab that thing and start rucking.
It's just a little simpler. It's kind of one of those things that I was about to say, it's just easier, right? But I feel I should explain that. It's one of those things where you're prepping for your workout that's going to last however 30 or 40 minutes, but you know, you don't want to move the big yoga mat that you're going to work on, or you don't, when you're done, you're too lazy to spray it down, or, you know, take your pick, right? You choose your things to be lazy about, and it's kind of counterintuitive, you know? It's like, oh, I'll spend all this money to go do all this working out, but then I don't want to do any furniture moving at my house ever, because that sucks, you know? I mean, what the hell is all the working out for? I mean, just do the stuff that you need to do in your life. But the ruck plate carrier, it's just easier. I mean, the idea of putting on a weight vest, like, no thanks. It's going to soak up all that nasty stuff. It's just, there's just so much of it. For 20 pounds, I mean, maybe if you have 100 pounds, I guess, but 20 pounds, 30 pounds, here you go. This is great. It works perfectly in ours. And so we're excited about it.
Yeah, man, I've got two kids. I take them out. I grab my ruck, grab snacks for them, grab all that stuff. I've got them in their double stroller. There's just so many things that come along with getting them out the door. Sometimes it's just nice to grab something small, grab something minimal.
Yep.
Just one check mark right there. My kids have 5+ check marks each, jackets, shoes, all that stuff, ruck plate carrier, and go. Following up on that, I mean, I've gotten a number of questions from people who have been asking, should I just get a ruck plate carrier, or should I still buy a ruck? Is the ruck plate carrier going to replace rucks at events? I mean, personally, I think the ruck plate carrier seems like an awesome product, but when it comes to those events, I mean, even a light, but definitely a tough, heavy, the star courses, you're going to want to bring water. You're going to want to bring food. It's not like there's water stations or anything. So you're going to want that extra space for some of that extra gear that you need to finish up those events.
If you're talking about the Go Ruck Challenge or a star course where you want to carry a jacket and some water, I mean, train like you fight. And yet sometimes if you're going to do functional fitness and stuff, I mean, it's just a little bit simpler. It's easier. So you want to put it on. And then if that leads you to do more hard work, then that's awesome.
For sure. I mean, anything that enables people to do more hard work, because that's kind of what it's all about. I always plan differently when I'm taking the kids out on either, you know, a 20-minute walk versus an hour walk. Guessing on those longer walks, I'm not going to be bringing the ruck plate carrier. If you're hitting a couple parks, you'll be gone for, I don't know, 2+ hours. But Gork makes packs for that as well.
That might be the case for the GR3 though, right? All their snacks and all the water bottles and all of the jackets and all of the all the contingency plan, you just got it all then. I hear you though, man.
Man, speaking of the GR3, when that pack showed up, I mean, it was bigger than I expected. And I had just gotten back from a work trip and Mason wanted to play airport. Sorry, I'm just going to dive off on this one. We ended up making this game where he would crawl into the backpack and I would zip him up. I mean, he was 4 years old at the time. He fit in there completely. I would carry him around, pretend I was going on an airplane. Then when I got to my location, which was a bed, I'd unzip it and act all surprised that he was in there and it snuck on the trip with me. I mean, the GR3 is a huge bag.
That's great. I don't think you'll regret going through that and having those memories.
Yeah, man, I'm never going to regret or forget those moments. That, I mean, that was just a ton of fun. So I guess speaking of things that are a ton of fun, it's been crazy with events. I mean, this whole pandemic thing, everyone is shutting down. And I feel like Goruck might be in a better position than, you know, some of those bigger races where 1,000 people, 2,000 people, 10,000 people come in, Spartan races, road races, because just traditionally at Goruck events, I mean, there's less people there. So I'm curious, you know, how has the whole pandemic thing been going and when are you guys going to be starting up events again?
Yeah, I mean, we're planning on going back online in June, which is cool. And like you said, I mean, we're able to just naturally incorporate more social distancing. I mean, before we went offline, but in March, I guess, you know, we ran some events, a few, and the cadre just adapted, right? I mean, you remove the team weights, you remove the, hey, rotate rucksacks, you remove buddy carries and the tunnel of love. There's still plenty of stuff we can do. And look, I mean, these disruptions are, chaos is opportunity. And so if you view it like that, it will become an opportunity. If you view it as a burden, then your life will be weighed down. And so, you know, the challenge and the guidance to the cadre has been to lead a slightly different event and let it evolve from there. These guys are highly adaptive and, you know, they love building teams through adversity. So that'll work. It'll just work. Now, when you start talking about 2021, there's a little bit of wait and see. I mean, I think overall, we kind of wanted to see more bigger events. And by bigger, I mean 100 people, not 10,000, right? But bigger events. And the reason for us is it's more fun when you have two cadre there. And not even so much just for the participants, but for the cadre. And so that ability to connect with the other guy and share a hotel room and, you know, do these things where it just makes it more rewarding to lead the events. And so figuring out how to get to those types of events is just, that will make the guys more excited to lead the events, which is good. And so we got to kind of work through some of those dynamics and see what the evolution is out of this. But I believe that more than ever now, people will be open to this idea of smaller groups going outside for fitness. So that's good.
Absolutely. And I'm sure you guys are going to be paying attention to, you know, what all the states are doing in terms of how big of a group can get together. And one of the great things about Goruck events is they don't have to happen within a city. You know, the start point can move. It's really tough to move the start point for a large race, but the start point for Goruck events can be a little more flexible.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to be in New York or San Francisco or, you know, downtown Chicago. But I mean, look, the beauty of this also is we can change the start point easily. I mean, we can go right outside of town. I mean, 2 miles, 5 miles from lower Manhattan, and you're in a different universe, you know? And maybe Manhattan's a bad example, but you get my point. I mean, you start to say, what, 5 miles from San Francisco, you're in the middle of the woods, you know? I mean, there's lots of things that can happen that we can be adaptive to. So look, the goal is not to run events that are unsafe, so to say, or that we don't want to be the first ones out there sort of flouting the hey, we can do this, so we will type of mentality. We want to do this safely and correctly, and we want to give people at the same time an opportunity to come out and do something awesome and rewarding and healthy, right? I mean, go spend some time outside and push yourself a little bit. I mean, and that's staying cooped up for too long has its risks as well. So, you know, people are itching to get out and do something, and that's cool. Let's go do something awesome, and we'll stay some distance apart, and we'll, you know, drink some beers in the parking lot when we're done, and we'll stay a couple feet apart, and it's fine.
I'm excited to see how the events evolve and change during this kind of time of event season, because it's been cool to see them change over the years. I mean, my first Gork event back in 2011 is way different than the events I did last year. So I think the people who are going to be getting in events, Kadri are changing it up. I definitely think that they're going to get a unique experience, and there'll probably be events that they'll remember for a long time.
A mass reason for evolution. That's an opportunity. That's what I mean. Chaos is opportunity.
Absolutely. And I'm curious how you're doing with everything being shut down, you know? I mean, the last time I was down there at HQ, it's been a while, but there was so much of a sense of community going in the building. And so, I mean, just thinking about it, it's got to be kind of tough to replicate across the web. I'm curious how you're doing down there with that.
Scars has been open. So I have gone in from time to time, and there's like 3 people in there. There's lots of distancing, right? And that's, I like my desk close to the sewing machines. It's a good reminder that this stuff is real and it's really hard to build and stuff like that. And look, I think right now it's a bit of the honeymoon phase, and there's all of this speculation about, is this going to last forever and all of that stuff. I mean, look, for us, our team, our company has taken on a culture of adaptation. And so we've adapted really well to this, and our communication has streamlined and our focus is streamlined, and chatting on Google or whatever, Zoom or whatever has gone really well. That said, I don't think that it's a permanent strategy. I think that you still need to go see the people that you work with. And so we're kind of looking to ease into, I mean, our main office that where you were when you were down here, I mean, it's a storage unit right now. Nobody's in there. And so what we're looking to do is to ease back into, hey, this isn't the sort of 9-to-5 spot for everyone. But let's link up outside, do some PT, go for a ruck, come back, drink some beers out of the cooler in the park across the street, and, you know, get to see each other face to face, because there really is no substitute. And so, you know, we're temporarily forced to substitute, but we can't do it like this forever. And I say we at a really macro level, not just GORUCK, but I don't think that that's going to be the solution, is permanent digital everything.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think if anything, this just kind of shows how much can be done in some respects for some jobs from home. And so when things come up in someone's life, if they've got a doctor's appointment, or they've got, you know, they have to take their kid to the dentist, or there's a parent-teacher meeting, you know, something comes up, things come up all the time in people's lives that work might be more accommodating with, you know, hey, I'm going to work from home in the morning, I'm going to do this appointment, and I'm going to work from home in the afternoon. I think people have been flexing their schedules a lot lately. You know, the people who are fortunate enough to be able to work from home. And I agree, I don't think it's going to be this way forever, but I think that we're going to end up seeing some more leniency out of it than, you know, than a lot of people had in the past.
Yeah, I think that's super fair. I mean, I've had to evolve a little bit as well in this. I mean, I like to work with people that I like, and I enjoy spending time with them. And so I don't want to just be a digital face on their screen and the converse as well. And so but you do have to adapt. And so I think there's some element of how do we make sure that there are this real world interaction. We've always been about that. I mean, take Facebook friends and turn them into real friends. We've been doing that since the beginning, and we're really focused on continuing that and living that. And so that's what we'll do. We're just figuring out how and when to meet up face to face. And it doesn't always have to be within the confines of what it should be. And so it's a nice little wake up call.
Absolutely. I mean, just thinking back to when I was a kid, I remember when I was out of school for 2 weeks for snow. I remember that couple of weeks. I mean, now 20 plus years later. And so kids right now being out of school, I'm sure they're going to remember this for a long time.
Yeah, you're not going to forget this.
So getting into gear a little bit, I mean, GoRuck's still been releasing apparel. I think that training gear, the training shirt, the American training shorts just came out a couple months ago. I mean, the RPC just came out. I mean, you're still releasing a lot of gear. That's exciting to see.
Yes. I mean, a lot of that stuff was already on order. So global supply chains have been disrupted, but it's really kind of an adaptation thing. Frankly, the pandemic has kind of accentuated some of our strengths and it's minimized some of our weaknesses. And so, you know, I mean, even having diversified manufacturing, some overseas and a lot domestic, I mean, it's that part has been good. I mean, I'll say behind the scenes is, you know, our American manufacturing has a lot of it is pivoted toward healthcare stuff and PPE stuff. And that's great. And we've worked to support that and are supporting that. It's also cut into some of the bandwidth for other stuff. And overseas still has this ability to scale stuff quickly. And so, you know, in quality, which is, I mean, if it's not quality, we're not going to do it. But, you know, the American supply chains have been bogged down in different ways than the overseas supply chains. That's really what I'm saying. And so I think that what we'll see over time is even more hybrids. And so a lot of places are going to bring some of their supply chains back. We already have both. And so it's positioned us really well. And that's accident. That wasn't foresight or anything. That was just more, hey, this was the strategy. This has just made it look better because this is the model. I mean, we could spend hours talking about the difference in manufacturing centers, but ultimately, I believe that the case for diversified manufacturing is a strong one. And then it's up to the brand and the prioritization and all that stuff, like where you want to build what and all of that. But that stuff has been good for us. And, you know, and the other stuff is just the ability to lean into the training side of the house. So, I mean, nobody wants to talk about travel gear right now. And all we were is a travel company, it would be really bad. That couldn't pivot at all. I mean, what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably easier to change from a fitness company into a travel company than the reverse. You don't see too many travel companies right now filling their bags up with sand and suggesting you work out with them.
Yeah, teach someone how to fill a roll bag full of dirt. That sounds like a winning strategy.
I mean, that's just what I want to do is fill up a roll bag with sand. I hear it's really good for the wheels. Sure, it's still going to work perfect afterwards. So moving on, I mean, one of the big changes that was made even within the past couple of months was bringing distribution back to Jacksonville. And I know it's not really at GoRuck, so to speak, but it's closer to home. So I'm guessing you've got better eyes on it now than you did before.
I mean, and it's kind of a true partnership. I mean, we have
4 full-time employees down there right now. So in the last place, we had 0. It was good in some ways while it lasted, I guess, at the last place. It just, they couldn't adapt at all. I mean, if there was any glitch ever in any of their technology, you were just a slave to their coding department, and they'll get to it when they get to it. And so it was just really frustrating, and there was no ability to kind of control our own fate at all. And so, you know, we had positioned ourselves in first the Cincinnati area and then Indianapolis, which is roughly the same in terms of shipping, with this idea of center of America. It's easy and fast to the East Coast, but not too bad to get to the West Coast, stuff like that. And, you know, because of all the shipping that's gone on, it's those costs have come way down over time. And so, yeah, in some ways, if you're getting a shipment to Seattle from Florida, it's got a ways to go and it's pretty expensive, but it's relatively speaking, it's not nearly as expensive as it was a while back. And so, you know, you rewind 8 years or however long ago, and we were shipping out of Bozeman for a while, Bozeman, Montana, and it was just a lot more expensive, all of it. And now there's just so much. I mean, the Amazon effect has been strong, the logistics associated with reduction in shipping costs. And so, you know, we're riding that wave. And so we have it closer to home. We're able to more directly oversee our inventory. And that's great. I mean, it was like going through the move. We had accumulated a lot of stuff that just wasn't on the site at all. And I mean, basically we have 3 of everything we've ever built.
And you guys have built a lot of gear over the years.
I mean, it's crazy. And so at some point we've got to get that up for sale. I don't know. I don't even know how to do that because it's such a pain in the ass to create a SKU and turn it on and do all that stuff, but we'll figure it out. I mean, there's just too much stuff not to figure it out. So we'll figure it out, but just, you know, you're moving grandma from her house to her condo or whatever, and you find a lot of stuff. So we're kind of in that process.
Man, well, as soon as flights open up, I got to get down there because I am so freaking curious what you've got stashed away there. I've got a wish list a mile long. So, man, I'm curious what you got there.
Yeah, that makes 2 of us.
And then hopping back quickly to the, you know, working with those distribution centers, that's got to be tough because you've built a company that's lean, efficient, and you're able to pivot pretty well. But then you're working with other companies that are, it seems like, the complete opposite. And so if something happens, you're able to make a change pretty quick. But then, like you said, you're stuck waiting weeks for them to hopefully, fingers crossed, implement something that will work for you.
Yeah, you sort of hope for efficiency gains from all that stuff. But look, things evolve. You have to adapt to the current state, not to what you wish it were, to what it was or to what you hope it will be, but to what it actually is and where you want to go. And you know, we want to maintain some greater controls. So we're happy to bring it back home to Florida.
Yeah, I mean, not exactly the same thing, but I remember when this pandemic started and Amazon stopped doing some of their fulfillment for some of their people who are using the FBA fulfilled by Amazon stuff. I mean, those companies were, gosh, I mean, if you're not shipping products, you're pretty much dead in the water.
Yeah, when you have no control and no plan B, that's a problem.
So I guess this question follows a little bit off of distribution. I remember one of the reasons, I believe it was in a previous State of GoRuck, that you had mentioned that you guys were kind of moving some of your manufacturing over to Vietnam overseas was because then you'll be closer for distributing to the international community. I mean, there's a lot of people wrecking outside of the US, and I know distribution has been pretty solid within the United States, but I know it's been expensive for those who don't live in the United States. So I'm curious, you know, between the distribution of gear, between events, are there any plans right now to kind of take advantage of that and work on the international scene?
Yeah, we kind of have, but it's everything is on hold. I mean, there's just nobody's looking at that stuff right now. And so it's kind of, you have to focus on closer targets right now. It's one of those things I just would love for it to happen. I mean, there's some really great clubs in Europe and in Japan and in a lot of cities around the world. And it's just hard to figure that stuff out. And, you know, I'll stay 1,000% apolitical, but there's been some walls put up as well, which has made just uncertainty in that regard has been more of a challenge. I mean, I'm for and believe in American manufacturing. There's just in that regard, cool, great. We're happy to keep doing what we've been doing. Just some of the other stuff is just a challenge. So right now is not the time to take on huge new challenges. I mean, pivoting as a company a fair amount into more on the training side and explaining a lot of that stuff, I mean, garage gym workouts and stuff like that. I mean, that's at the expense of some of these other plans that we had in the past.
And again, I mean, it's just really cool to see you pivot like that, because it's been great seeing that content coming out, those daily workouts, showing your real life over there in your real gym, your real kids running around while you're still getting a workout in. I mean, it's been great to see.
You don't need a $20,000 garage build out. Like, don't do that unless you're just, you know, swimming in cash. I mean, need versus want is a big deal. And if you don't need it, don't buy it. And like, to me, I mean, you need to take care of yourself, but that doesn't mean that you need to go into $20,000 of debt to do it. I mean, you can smoke yourself into chiseled bronze statue shape, right? With body weight. And if you add a little bit of weight with a sandbag or a ruck, awesome. I mean, you can really have some fun then. We're kind of at times can get into this, hey, I'm going to buy my way to solve this problem. And sometimes it's simpler. The answer is just simpler. Just do the work.
Just do the work. Love it. And speaking of just doing the work, events, I mean, touching one last time on international events, it's been cool to see a lot of international events hit the calendar. I mean, again, 2020 is just such an insane year, so I don't know what's going to happen. But I mean, Belgium's got a heavy on the calendar for December. That's cool. There's a ton of events happening internationally, and it's just been really nice seeing GORC expand their event line across the world like that.
Yeah. I mean, we got our first Japanese cadre. The ruck clubs have gotten some wind in their sails, and so they're promoting it more. And yeah, it's great. I mean, it's awesome to see.
So I guess I lied. I've got one more question that's kind of international based, because, you know, there's a lot of ingress events that happen around the world. It's been really cool seeing what's been going on there, seeing people getting involved in rucking through ingress and kind of following that in the Telegram app. But are there plans for more events with ingress?
Yeah, it's kind of just a community. That's turned into more of a community-driven thing within the sort of digital alternate reality game space, right? And, you know, I'll just say John and his family remain really good friends of ours. And, you know, we don't even really talk business when we go. I mean, so last year in San Francisco, we did the Star Course together, the 26-2. And, you know, it's just, they're just really, he's great. I mean, I'm a huge fan and admirer of his. And so, you know, there's a lot to learn from a company like that. And the community of Ingress is great. And we've continued to run events with them. They don't get a lot of airtime for us in talking about them, but that's okay. It's sort of driven by on the ground demand.
Yeah, it's kind of the thing about Ingress, right? Is that the community there, it's really strong. So if you're interested in Ingress and you're involved in the Ingress community, there's probably a good chance you've already heard about the GORC events. So kind of pivoting there, speaking about events, I mean, one of the things for 2020, I recall GORC was going to be coming out with kind of a new events website. Are there still plans for that?
Yes, that's still in the works. It got, so when COVID hit, we went to, and that project was delayed because it's just it's a complicated technical thing to sort of process event payments and have shopping carts for gear. And it's just kind of was a mess. And so, but when COVID hit, we really aggressively focused on our balance sheet. So to do that, it was a lot of cash conservation. And so some of the technology projects got just put on pause. And that was one of them. And we're sort of back at it. So I don't know what the timeline is, but it's certainly this year.
Yeah, putting that stuff on hold makes just a ton of sense, right? Main goal, keep GoWork going, keep everything still running. Because at the end of the day, man, like what good is a brand new fancy events website if it means GoWork's going under and you don't have any events to put on?
You're not very good.
Another thing that had been in the works for events, I mean, at least what I had heard and kind of read from either the Tough group or the Ruck Club Leaders group, was that the event section, when it was kind of broken off, was going to raise money for nonprofits. Are there still plans to make that happen, or what's going on with that?
Yeah. So it's one of those things where the goal was to donate all profits from events to nonprofits, right? To charity. And the main issue this year is, I mean, we're still running a fair amount of specific fundraisers for nonprofits, but those were meant to be kind of separate, right? And there's just no way, well, I won't say no way, but it's unlikely that events will be profitable this year. And so it's kind of like, all right, we can message something and get out ahead of it, because that's sort of the goal. But it's, you know, our heart's in the right place, and yet we're kind of hit a speed bump here this year. And I don't say that as an excuse. It's just, hey, that's what's going on.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. I mean, why pour probably hundreds of hours into this project, right, when at the end of the year, finally get through tallying it all up, how much you're going to donate to nonprofits? And the answer is zero, because events didn't make any money thanks to COVID-19. Makes a lot of sense to keep GoWork going, work on other projects, because, you know, Glorious Professionals, all the videos you've been putting out, all of that stuff, things that are benefiting the community, and then come back to this 2021 when events might be profitable. Just got to say, it's got to be tough for companies right now that are 100% in events.
Yeah, it's not a good year to be exclusively in events. So, you know, I mean, it's just another, I think people are going to come back really strong on events once they start getting back after them. I mean, we had some pretty good response to some of the do-it-yourself star courses and stuff like that. And that was really cool to see people wanting to do more where they are, because you just go stir crazy. I mean, we're social creatures. And if you sit us in an apartment or a house or whatever for too long, I mean, you just go stir crazy. You have to get out to feel healthy again. So people wanted to get out, and that was awesome to see.
The do-it-yourself star course was such an awesome idea. I mean, I got to ask, whose idea was that?
The events team. They did a great job.
It was just so cool because, I mean, it started out there with, what, like 50 to 100 different star course maps, but then there was the ability for people to submit their own. So you had Ruck clubs submitting them, you had Ruck leaders submitting them for Ruck clubs, and then I went back like a week later and it had doubled, and a week after that it had doubled again. And I mean, at the end of it, there must have been, what, like 400 or 500 of those star course maps. I mean, realistically, when travel starts opening up again, you could travel to a lot of different cities and see what GRTs think are the best parts of their city.
From like 50 to 500 or something like that. It's crazy.
So I forgot to bring this up when we were talking about Glorious Professionals, because we kind of just rolled right through there and into, you know, all these other awesome topics. But Dr. Angel's podcast on there, and then back to the blog post he wrote was just phenomenal content, man. I gotta say, he did such a good job with that, because so much of the news out there, you know, in the articles, they either make you angry or they make you terrified. That seems to be the two goals. Every single time I read an article about COVID-19, about coronavirus, I'm either terrified or I'm angry, but there's no sense of what to do from it. It's basically sit there and be mad or sit there and be scared. His article was 100%, here's what you can do, here's what you should be doing, and here's what you should do if you think you have COVID-19. It didn't have any fear-mongering in it. It didn't have any doom and gloom. It was just well-written and just like a breath of fresh air amidst all this other content that's just trying to get you to click it because it's the new terrifying thing that we should all be afraid of. So again, man, I know I just kind of went off on this one, but that content was awesome.
Yeah, he did a great job of putting it together. And that's sort of what everyone's got their role to play. And for us, you know, he had a great, some real value to add. And I'll echo your sentiment. I mean, if you're watching the news out there and you're just getting angry all the time, you're not taking care of yourself. Like, stress and anger begets more stress and anger. And that's how you start making bad decisions. It's how you start not treating others well. You can't focus on anything except why you're so mad and stuff like that. And it's not productive. I'm not saying tune everything out, but maybe. I mean, focus on what you can control and get your news somewhere else if what you're looking at is making you too mad.
Yeah, I feel that. I mean, if what you're watching, listening to is just getting you mad, that's no good. That's no good. And speaking of, you know, consuming content, watching the news, we cut cable this year, which has been great because we're saving a lot of money. And there's now no commercials in our house. I feel like I'm saving a lot of time by not having it.
Great. Right. Silver lining.
And I also feel like the TV isn't on just going in the background as much anymore either, because we can't just turn on a channel and leave it running.
Yeah, it's not even a time thing always. It's sort of, so you read something, you get pissed off, and then what? You go in the other room and then your kid's pissed off because, you know, like the peas touch the steak, right? And like, Dad, my stuff can't touch it, the plate, you know? And so then what happens? You're pissed off because you read some article, and then you get more pissed off because he's pissed off because the vegetables touch the steak. And, oh yeah, and I hate vegetables, right? You know, whatever, right? And it's a vicious cycle, and you got to figure out a way to get out of it. And so, you know, it's been kind of I've been through really stressful times in my life, and this has been a really good reminder to draw upon those times for how I dealt with them and kind of show other people how I'm doing it. And I'm not perfect, you know? And yet the foundation is you need to work out, you need to move your body. It's helpful on the stress front. And you need to focus on fewer things and the things that matter the most. Now, I just hate to hear these stories about relationships going poorly. I mean, the worst ones to hear are about how parents are super stressed out and there's kids in the house and, you know, it turns abusive and all this stuff. I mean, that I just have no patience or tolerance for that kind of stuff. And so I just hate to even think about that. And part of it is, hey, there are things you can actually do to not have as much stress. I mean, I know it seems counterintuitive, but if your problems are money or your problems are you got to find a job or your problems are fill in the blank, it's really useful to sleep well at night over the long haul and to sleep better at night. You can get worn out to sleep better. And you just sort of, you take care of yourself in these ways, and it's not an immediate fix. It's not like, hey, here's your medicine, it's all going to be better in 2 seconds. it's cumulative. And I'm in more of a deployment mindset of we're in this for the long haul, and you kind of choose, you get to make some of your own luck here, right? You certainly get to choose how to approach this. And I just choose to deal with what we've got the best I can.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess I should clarify, I'm not saying don't read the newspaper, don't read any news, kind of live in a box and don't know what's going on around you. But, you know, pay attention to more local things, things that you can have an impact on. Obviously, global stuff as well, but don't just get into that vicious cycle where you just keep scrolling and scrolling, reading articles that are making you mad, and then there's nothing you can do about them. Because I don't know. Sometimes it happens to me. I start reading stuff and I keep reading stuff and I'm just going and going. And all of a sudden I've spent 45 minutes reading articles that, you know, it doesn't really matter that I read them or not, because I'll think back, what articles did I read last week? And I can't even remember them. So that's kind of what I use as a judge for, was that a good use of time or not? I mean, one of my vices, I guess, would be, you know, Reddit. You can scroll that forever. I know a lot of people like Facebook, but spend a half an hour on there, go to bed, wake up, and you can't even remember the articles you read. It just doesn't seem like a good use of time to me personally. That's how I feel about it. And especially with COVID-19, if anything happens in any state related to it, everything just fixates on that. And everyone has an opinion and everyone's judging on it.
I mean, we saw that in Florida, right? I mean, it became this huge national scandal that we opened up the beaches. I mean, I will tell you, I got buddies on the front lines working in the ER and in the Bronx, right? I mean, my sister's in DC, which is the next hotspot, right? I mean, we have strong ties to every single one of these centers of the pandemic. And we've done our part here. I mean, social distancing and all of that stuff, we've done our part. And, you know, I didn't really like how it was portrayed, because I think it was the right decision to open up the beaches here to exercise. And so the reason is look, everyone was on crowded sidewalks and, you know, I mean, they're right next to the beach, but they're not going to show those, right?
I mean, that's the thing. If you've got huge stretches of beach there, no one can go on them, but you've got the sidewalks and everyone's trying to avoid each other there. I mean, it makes sense. Move some people to the beach. And with the pictures, I mean, it's tough because, like me, I'm up in Seattle. I have no clue what it looks like down there, except for the pictures I see. And, you know, I've taken a couple of photography classes. I've got a couple of cameras. And I know you've taken a lot of pictures too. It is so easy to kind of distort what you're seeing here. And you can just kind of get the right spot as a photographer. I mean, I've sat, you know, taking pictures, waited for the clouds to move, waited for the sun to like pop out perfectly. You can do the same thing with people. Set up the tripod, wait for the perfect scene where it looks like it's just a super crowded beach, when in reality, it's not that crowded. And again, I mean, I'm not down there. I don't know either way, but I'm just saying from kind of my experience, it is super easy to kind of give a false impression with a photograph.
2D and 3D are warped in some of those photos. And it just, look, I mean, the point is a lot of people got really angry out of that. I got a lot of texts from buddies about what the hell are you guys doing down there? I'm like, look, man, it's not quite as it seems. And so it's just one of those things where I don't think that everyone that got angry about that, I don't think they did themselves a great service by doing that. And I don't think the news agencies, who probably sold a lot of advertising on their clickbait, I don't think they did us a service either.
I got to say, you know, some of the articles that have been coming out ever since quarantine hit, COVID-19, I mean, it just seems like perfect clickbait for the Times. I know a lot of those websites run on advertising revenue, so they're doing everything they can to get the clicks. It's got to be tough for you living down there and seeing how the rest of the country is just kind of talking about the place that you live.
Yeah, the fault lines go back to what they are, right? I mean, if you're inclined to be on the right, then you believe that, and if you're on the left, you believe that, and it just sort of it's that's the frustrating part to see, because, you know, it's a little more nuanced. And right now, there's just nobody really wants, not nobody. There's plenty of people that are really rational. Like Peggy Noonan has been awesome, if you've read any of her stuff in the journal. And there has been nuance. It's just, as a public discourse, it's just easier to believe what you read from the sources that align with what you already want to believe. And that's just is what it is.
Absolutely. So I kind of want to bring this back. I mean, what do you have going on in your life now that's exciting? I mean, obviously Glorious Professionals is the passion project. Got any other passion projects that you want to talk about?
So I got a book coming out.
Seriously? It's happening?
Yeah, I'll show you. You can see the video, right? So don't read it. Don't read the...
Yeah, I can see it all right. Man, that is... Man, this is awesome.
Yeah. So if you're out there listening, I'm showing the video. So it's not this exactly, but there's a lot of pictures in there too. It's basically kind of a journal that I found from the summer of 2010 when I drove around to 48 states with Java about what I was thinking at that time. That was the summer between my 2 years at business school. And so it's bookended with a little bit of the preface, a little bit of the story. And at the end, it wraps it up kind of a little bit, but this is kind of like the prequel. And it's been fun. It's been a really fun thing. It's kind of what I'm talking about with Glorious Professionals under this sort of GoRuck Media banner is this is something that I believe in. And I want to sort of get this story out because I'm really comfortable with the sort of real raw presentation of what all of this is. Like, you got a question? I mean, you know, before this started, you're like, hey, do you have anything that you really want to, like, anything's for a game, man, shoot, right? And so when it comes to building a company, I know a thing or two about how to do that in times of hardship and adversity. I mean, the financial crisis was not exactly nothing. And so how do you build a company at that time? And, well, the first thing is you start, right? And oh, by the way, your first plan is probably going to be horrible. Mine was. And so let me show you what that looked like and all of that stuff. And so it's just kind of an honest look at what the earliest days were like. And I always smile when people talk about the good old days. I'm like, man, these are the best days. And the good old days were... let me show you what the good old days felt like to me. Sleeping in the car, stressed about everything, you know, all of that stuff, and having something but a dream, but not knowing how to fulfill it and stuff like that. And going through a divorce and, you know, fighting over a dog. And it was really hard. And so I thought this was a really good place to start, especially because we're at 10 years, right? I mean, what's today as we're recording, it's May 7th, 2020. So May 2nd, 2020 was the first ever Tough Mudder, right? And so that's 10 years ago. So I'll look in this real quick. So May 7th, 2010, here's the, I don't know if you can read that, but I was in the White Mountains, New Hampshire, and then I went to Portland, Maine and had a $13 lobster sandwich, right? And we were driving around looking for retail shops, and the whole story got a lot worse, but more interesting, I should say. But it's been a really fun and interesting decade, and the starting point was everyone's thinks they've got to have everything figured out. I didn't have anything figured out. The trick was just to not quit, you know, DFQ, right? And keep going and just adapt to the ground truth, to the realities at hand. And that's what I did. That's what we did. And that's why we're still around. It's not because the plan was good. It's not because GR1 was just perfect or whatever. I mean, and we focused on quality stuff, but that's not enough, right? I was willing to share a lot of a story that I was uncomfortable sharing, but that's not enough either, right? You got to just keep adapting. And so going back to the roots of, hey, here's what the early days were like. Here you go, right? And that's been fun. It's been fun to revisit it because it's kind of back to my roots again. And that's, I don't mean that as a look backwards. I mean that in a way where the people who influence you in your life, your grandparents or, a teacher that you had in the past, I mean, those lessons stick with you forever, and remembering them is really important. And so this was a huge reminder in the importance of grassroots and community and my roots in special forces and wanting to really uphold what that meant and means and will always mean to me. So it's been a fun little project, and I would expect that we're self-publishing, and it'll be out in June.
That soon?
Yeah. I've been working on it for a while.
Man, that's great. I cannot wait to pick it up. So do you still journal now like you kind of used to then?
I don't. Not quite like that. I mean, I was on the road for all the whole summer. I mean, it's just, and you're kind of in that mood. Sometimes I will kind of check in. I mean, I've enjoyed writing more, but I haven't, I don't keep a strict journal like that, no.
I don't either. And I mean, sometimes I wish I did, because I'll think back to years ago, something I was working on or, something that's going on with the family. And I just want more context around it. And I don't have any notes on it. I just have some pictures here and there. And then rolling over into All Day Ruck Off, every now and then people want to know what goes on behind the scenes, office tour, behind the scenes vlog type stuff. And personally, to me, I don't think that stuff is interesting enough because it's just my everyday life.
No, I get it. It's just sort of, I mean, I've thought at times about, every day sharing all these decisions that have to be made. It's just kind of, it's almost exhausting to think about how to share that. I mean, yeah, I don't mind the decisions. It's just sort of, oh man, the thought of, because then, I mean, it's like, I almost want to turn the comments off, whatever that looks like. I just don't even want to engage on that because I'm not looking for, like, I'm a big believer that if I can kind of share some of my journey and it's useful to others, then I'll keep sharing. And so by that, I mean, we make a lot of mistakes along the way. There is thought process behind the decisions that we make. And if there's not enough, then we go back and revisit it. The community's been good about telling us when they think that we're off a little bit, and that's great, And so just, I would love to be even more transparent about some of this if it's interesting. I haven't figured out exactly how. I mean, and I don't have some other journal that I'm keeping that I'll publish in another 10 years. And I think everyone's life is interesting. It's just sort of, you have to share it in interesting ways that are engaging for it to be worth someone else's time. And that's hard. I mean, telling stories or sharing stuff in a way that other people should or would want to read or whatever it's hard. So the world will get to judge this here pretty soon, and we'll see where it goes. Plan was to actually not recreate the whole route, but drive around a fair amount and kind of meet with the community along the way. We'll see how that ends up happening, if at all. But I was going to drive from basically San Francisco south to San Diego, LA, and then Texas, and then mostly up to the Northeast. So we'll see. Could happen. Might not.
Is your car from that original trip still around?
Yeah. It's sitting right out there. I probably wouldn't take that one though. Rent a brand new one for 30 days or something. I'm all for pinching a penny, especially when you got to, but man, I'm not sure that the GoRuck truck should be tested like that, right? Because, you get you're on the stuck on the side of the road one too many times, it stops being fun. Although it's just, that car has just been a dream. I mean, it has just been a workhorse for us. And it's just awesome. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, it's already proved its worth once, right? Driving you around the country, putting on the events back in 2010, 2011. It's proved it can do it. It doesn't have to go out there and do it again.
Yeah. You can take the kids to school and stuff now, if that happens again.
Man, well, I mean, thank you so much again for taking all this time to talk about everything you've got going on, and again for sharing all that info about the book.
It's been a fun project. So, you know, I've sort of had my romance with it, and now, you know, it's like you turn it over and move on to something next and see if you all like it.
Thank you so much for listening to the All Day Rock Off podcast. This has been episode number 154. If you want links to anything we talked about during the episode, you can head on over to the show notes, alldayruckoff.com/154. Jason, again, thank you so much for taking the time. Really appreciate it. It's always a pleasure chatting. And thank you for sharing information on that new project you've got going on. Can't wait for it to be released in June. Coming up really quick, if you're listening to this live, it's next month. So fingers crossed it releases on time. If you enjoyed this episode and you want to support the All Day Rock Off podcast, you can always leave reviews, Apple Podcasts, or on Facebook. Just search for All Day Rock Off. You can also support through the online store, alldayrockoff.com/store, or through Patreon, patreon.com/alldayrockoff. And if you support through Patreon, you get some extra benefits, discounts in the store, exclusive stuff in the store. In the process of a pretty big project over here, and so I've been going through the office and putting up some rucking related things I found for free for Patreon members. So in addition to those bonus podcast episodes, there's also some other pretty cool stuff as well. So you can check all that out, patreon.com/alldayrockoff, and there's a link to the show notes as well for that. Again, really hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you so much for all the support. I can't wait to talk to you next week, and as always, don't forget, attitude is everything. Keep yours positive. And thank you again for tuning in.